From WisPolitics in Madison, you're listening to Capital Chats.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a WisPolitics Capital Chats podcast brought to you by Spectrum. I'm Adam Kelnhofer, reporter at WisPolitics, here with my colleague Kate Morton, who is also a reporter at WisPolitics, to talk about an interview she just did with Democratic strategist Joe Zepecki. So, Kate, you got to talk to Joe a little bit about the Democratic primary, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Adam. We focused a lot on the takeaways for President Biden in the primary. We touched on the uninstructed vote, which saw about 8.3%, and he also pointed out the margin of votes in the Republican primary that Donald Trump didn't get and went to candidates who actually are no longer in the race.
All right, sounds interesting. Let's just get right into it then.
All right, Joe, so thanks for joining me on the podcast today. I think just to get us started off, we're going to just go through some of your overall impressions of the primary for President Biden and any takeaways that you have.
One of the things I'm most surprised by is the media coverage and sort of the narrative around the presidential contest last week. And the reason for that is a couplefold. First of all, the uninstructed campaign obviously had some money behind it, was a real concerted effort, and supported by people who have real and genuine concerns about what's happening in the Middle East. However, the uninstructed vote did less well here compared to Michigan and Minnesota, two pretty comparable states to Wisconsin. And even more importantly, the 40, 45,000 votes statewide that it received, you have to 3X that to get to the number of Republicans who voted for someone other than Donald Trump, despite the fact that Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, none of these folks have been sending mail, actually campaigning, asking for votes. They didn't have even the amount of campaign that the uninstructed campaign did. And so clearly both candidates have base challenges. But to compare the two and suggest that they are samesies just does not square with reality when you've got three times as big a problem for Donald Trump as you do for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I guess maybe you could say a little bit more about, I mean, it seems like you think these concerns about uninstructed have been overblown. Do you see Biden trying to do some kind of outreach with these voters? Do you see it impacting him at all in November?
I don't want to use the word overblown. These are deeply held, very serious concerns that voters have about what's happening in the Middle East. I just believe that everything in politics is relative, right? This is a zero-sum game. Whoever gets the most votes is getting Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes. Both gentlemen who are their party's presumptive nominees have challenges, but they are not samesies. And to take that analysis one step further, among the ways I think about this and think about the work that the Biden campaign has ahead of it, is that if you are an uninstructed voter, which is not something that like a lot of people knew about or has traditionally been a part of the political discourse in Wisconsin, these are very engaged, very educated, very savvy voters who found a way to send a message to an incumbent president. There aren't a lot of ways for voters to do that on an issue like this. And so I am not real concerned that those voters are the types of folks who don't understand what's at stake or aren't paying attention to the news, aren't seeing that the line that President Biden is taking with Netanyahu and his government is increasingly harder, and that we are seeing developments and changes on the ground in Gaza and in Rafah and around the hostages. And so I believe that when it is a binary choice this fall, those uninstructed voters will see a choice between a former president who supported a Muslim ban, who led to what I would say global instability, who cannot be trusted in his dealings with our allies, who sends deep concerns through, for example, NATO, and an incumbent president who has a heart that is in the right place, who is trying to do the right thing, and who is leading a volatile world between multiple conflicts. And so I have confidence that the Biden campaign, through their outreach efforts and through the work that they are doing, are going to be able to have a conversation with those voters who cast uninstructed ballots and stand a pretty good chance of getting a lot of that vote back. Neither Trump nor Biden is going to get every single one of those folks back. That's not how this works. But I do just think it's a very different type of challenge than the fact that you've got Nikki Haley running up pretty big vote counts in the WOW counties, which we know are central to the Republican coalition and their statewide path to a majority. I'm not sure that Donald Trump, post January 6th, post all of the indictments that he is facing, the criminal charges that are being brought against him, being found liable by a jury of his peers for sexual assault, I'm not sure many of those Republicans are coming back. Now, again, that doesn't mean none of them are going back, but it also doesn't mean all of them are going back. And it's a matter of proportionality when you have a state that is such a coin toss, coin flip, 50-50, 10,000, 20,000 votes here or there. That matters. The magnitude of the problem matters. And the other piece of this is the financial resources that the two campaigns have. You have to communicate with voters, not just on TV and digital, but on the doors, in the mailbox. You got to have a campaign that can go and find these folks, have a conversation with them, and move them back to your side. When you look at the financial disparity between both the state Republican Party and the state Democratic Party, and the Biden campaign and the Trump campaign, we're not talking apples to apples here. We're talking apples to elephant carts in terms of the disparity. Democrats are going to have the financial resources they need to run a real campaign. I'm not sure you can say the same for Donald Trump and the right at this point.
Yeah. One of the ideas we've kind of heard floated also is this idea that, you know, people who are kind of never Trumpers or people who have said they won't vote for Trump again could end up appealing to or voting for Biden. Is that something that you see happening?
There's no question that the Never Trump coalition was a part of why Joe Biden won 4 years ago. You know, it's easy to forget in these crazy political times and in a political information environment that is so saturated. But it was Ron Johnson himself who I think has best described why Donald Trump lost and Joe Biden won here 4 years ago. And that is that if you tally up the Republican votes for Congress across all 8 of Wisconsin's congressional districts in 2020, those congressional Republican candidates ran 50,000 votes ahead of Donald Trump. And what did Biden win by? 23,000. So clearly there are many, many voters in this state who are traditionally Republican, view themselves as conservative, and see Donald Trump for what he is, which is, first of all, not very conservative. He's just playing politics. He's in it for himself. And everywhere he goes, there is chaos, there is division. And after 2020, the last time most people here got a chance to vote for him, we saw political violence committed in his name at the Capitol on January 6th. That is not a formula to bring back those principled conservatives who said, you know what, enough is enough, that believe, much like Liz Cheney says, this nation can survive bad policy choices or policy choices you don't agree with. What it can't survive is the return to the White House of a man who believes the Constitution should be suspended so he can be put back into office after he lost an election. That's the facts, folks, about what Donald Trump has said since he lost 4 years ago. And so the job that Joe Biden has is, frankly, slightly more complicated, but there's more paths of opportunity, right? So Biden has to go and talk to everybody from those Never Trump Republicans to uninstructed, very liberal, left-leaning voters. But that also speaks to the scope of his coalition. The flip side of that is Donald Trump just doesn't have that many more places where he can go and try to add to the coalition he had 4 years ago. All he has done since then, I would argue, is take away from it. And so when we sort of get down to the brass tacks of it, you look to a place like Dane County. There's no question that the uninstructed vote ran highest in some of those near campus UW-Madison wards. And Dane County has been the central component to the winning streak that Democrats have been on for, I think it's 14 of the last 17 statewide races. Dane County continues to have more votes and it continues to have a higher proportion of those votes going to Democratic candidates. So Biden has to get those back. And the opportunity he has with those Never Trump Republicans means he can go do that in Dane County, also hold those Trump margins down, in particularly Waukesha and Ozaukee counties. Washington is probably gone. And that math can help kind of make up for some of the inroads that Republicans may be making in a county like Kenosha.
Yeah, another thing I wanted to mention was kind of the issue of voter enthusiasm being low for a Trump-Biden rematch. How do you think that plays into all of this? And how do you see, you know, Biden trying to appeal to voters to really get them out to the polls?
There is no question that there are a lot of Americans who wanted a presidential contest between anyone other than the same two gentlemen who ran last time. Double haters, right? If they're down on both or disapprove of both, there's no question that that is a factor in this election. One of the things you might be able to do is just look at who wins those double haters, and then you'll know who wins the election. I also think this goes to the choice that is going to clarify between now and November. It goes to the financial resources and the advantage that Joe Biden and Democrats have because they can go and communicate with folks and frankly remind especially Democrats and people who have voted for Clinton, voted for Biden, and maybe are still just like, okay, like Biden, he's just, you know, he's old, whatever complaints they have with him. I really think that Donald Trump has faded from the public consciousness a little bit. Certainly not for those of us who do things like listen to Capital Chats and other political podcasts and follow the news in and out every day. But I really think that as the world has gotten more back to normal post-COVID, post-pandemic, folks have kind of forgotten just how much chaos follows Donald Trump, that Donald Trump creates. You know, he's been deplatformed. He's sort of just a little less present in our lives. As these last 190 so days of the campaign elapse, Donald Trump's going to be back in people's living rooms in a way that he really hasn't been for the last 3.5 years. And I think that is going to take care of a lot of the enthusiasm problems on the left. As to enthusiasm problems on the right, we know that Donald Trump has a steadfast core group of ultra MAGA supporters. There's no question, and nobody can suggest otherwise. And you need both enthusiasm and to add to your coalition. And that's where I just think Trump faces a really uphill battle, not just here in Wisconsin, but in some of these other battleground states where I will concede the polling has not been great. But a thing I often say is that polling is noise. Elections are signal. And so whether you're looking at special elections down in Alabama or up in New York or around the country, Democrats, when it's time to go and vote, have been doing a lot better than Republicans in elections in the age of Trump. I believe that that's a trend that will continue this fall when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, before we wrap things up, is there anything else you think people should have in mind over these next couple months about the presidential campaign?
I would just say folks should continue to pay attention, and I would urge those who are listening to podcasts like this to understand and give grace to people who are usually voters, but they're not kind of those political nerds like some of us. They have every right to be frustrated with our politics and to not be keen on tuning in and deciding who they're going to vote for in April or May. That's okay, right? Give those people space. When it is time to go cast those ballots, the choice will be clarified. People will understand the stakes of this election, and all of us have a role to play in that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joe, for joining us on the podcast.
You bet.
Awesome. Kate, thank you so much for bringing us that interview. If our listeners want to read more about the presidential race and how it's going in Wisconsin, they can head over to our website at wispolitics.com. But for now, I'm Adam Kelnhofer.
I'm Kate Morton.
Thanks for tuning in to Wisp Politics Capital Chats, brought to you by Spectrum.